Well, we've had a lot of parables over the past several weeks. They've been challenging ones. I've talked about forgiveness, talking about the kingdom of God. And today we have a parable about two sons, not the prodigal sons, but two sons that have a similar theme about authority. Now, Jesus had just been cleansing the temple, and these religious authorities had come forward, and they wanted to know why Jesus was doing this. This is just, they said, and I'm going to give a little bit of tone here. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? That's the way I imagine the religious authorities posing this question to Jesus. We love authority. We love to gather our things in ways, and we spend our whole lives kind of building our authority up. We get our degrees, and we have all of these different things, and we have these jobs, and we put them out on our resume or our CV. We do all of these things to show that we have authority to say what we say or to do what we do. It's like when you go into a Barnes & Noble bookstore. I think you can do that today. I'm not quite sure. But if you were to be, thinking back, the last time you were in the Barnes & Noble bookstore, you could walk through the aisles, and whether you're in the nonfiction or the fiction section, you can see different things on the books that point to them having authority. If it's in the nonfiction section, you'll have a little blurb about how where this person got degrees or where the person teaches. If you're in the fiction section, New York Times bestseller, it will have a little medal on there, National Book Award. It'll have all of these things that show why the book, you should purchase the book, because it has some authority, whether it's the author's authority or the subject matter. I just grabbed two random books from my bookshelf. We had a couple of years ago, we worked through the new Jim Crow here, Michelle Alexander. It was a New York Times bestseller. On the back, it says, Forbes magazine says, devastating. The San Francisco Chronicle, the Bible of a social movement. It also has quotes from Cornel West and Marion Wright Edelman, and it's got all of these different kinds of things on the back of it, and it shows that Michelle Alexander is an associate professor at Ohio State University. All of these things are printed on this book. I also had this other book, Parliament and Congress. I guess no one read this one because there's no comments on it from people who've read the book. It does state inside of it, though, that the one author is the former clerk of the House of Commons, and the other author is a consultant to the parliamentarian of the U.S. House of Representatives and former parliamentarian. And so it does list that inside the cover. But there's no, Cornel West, no comment. No comment. But we do these in our, we build up authorities around us, and we think about how all of this stuff plays together, and it's important to us. And now Jesus was cleansing the temple, and these religious authorities came out, and they asked this question, and they were trying to flex their authority muscle. They were trying to prove that they had authority and Jesus did not have authority. And the normal response, because I'm sure they said this before, other people had come into the temple and had done things, and they would come out and, well, why are you here? Who gives you the authority? And they were expecting, most people would have responded, well, I learned under so-and-so, and I've taught at this synagogue, and I've been over here and done that. Jesus could have said, oh, well, I fed 5,000 people, I changed water into wine, I healed these people over here, I had these crowds of people who came and heard my teachings. Look at the crowds that are gathered around here right now. Jesus didn't say that, though. Jesus didn't respond that way. That would have been the normal human response to say, oh, well, let me tell you all of my credentials. Jesus responded by saying, let me ask you a question. And the question was about how they determined John the Baptist's authority. And that question led those religious authorities to say, hold on one second. If we answer it this way, it does one thing. If we answered it the other way, it does something else. They were politically thinking this through, and they said, okay, well, we just don't know. We don't know the answer to that question. The heart of this gospel, the heart of this gospel is that we all have authority. We all have the calling from God to do something to make the world a better place, to bring God's kingdom to light in this time. We all have that. It's about taking on that responsibility and stepping out and doing something. The religious authorities thought, oh, well, hey, we've got all of this. But then Jesus continued with this parable. There are two sons in the parable, and they're both instructed to do something. Work in the vineyard. Do something in the vineyard. One of them says yes, but then doesn't do it. The other one says no, but then reconsiders and actually follows through. And Jesus said, who did the work of the Father? And they, of course, said the first one, the one who said no and then actually did the work. Now, I don't, you know, from my perspective, maybe this is true for you. I find this hard to understand, this parable, because I want to be the son that said yes and did it. But that's not one of the options that was given. The religious authorities thought they were the ones that had not only said yes to what God had asked them to do, but had followed through. But Jesus was pointing out to them that they had not followed through. They hadn't followed through. Because even though they kept saying it in their words, it wasn't showing up in their actions. It wasn't showing up in the way they were living their lives. They were holding themselves up as authorities when Jesus said, you need to be servants. You need to help other people. You need to bring the kingdom of God to this world right now. As we are about to, in this next week, we're going to be beginning our stewardship life here at St. Patrick's. This is a question that we all have to think about as we think about how we give our gifts back to God. There are lots of ways to do that. With your time, your talent, and your treasure. We all have a responsibility to live into this. We all are the ones that each one of us has equal responsibility to live into this promise and to make this community of St. Patrick's what it is. We all have that responsibility. Our work as a community of people, your vestry leaders, the staff, me, everybody else who's a parishioner here, is to make this place for everybody. To welcome all people in, and to help them grow and be transformed by the power of God. It's going to look different for every person, but that's our responsibility. And we do that by uniting together to do the work that we've been called to do. So as you see the letter that's going to be coming to you in the mail that tells you about the things that are going on at St. Patrick's and a plea to help us out in 2018, I hope that you will consider ways that you can offer your time and your talent and your treasure to make this parish what it is. We've been around for over 100 years. We continue to do good work. Thousands and thousands of people have found a home in this place. What are we going to be doing in 2018 and beyond? It all depends on you. You all have authority. You were all called by God to be servants. And that means not thinking about all your credentials, but thinking about how you respond to God's call and what you do to make it happen. That is our work here at St. Patrick's. It is our work as we go out into the world. We had a wonderful service Saturday yesterday. Amazing things are happening here. This is our responsibility to live out. And I hope that you will all take that responsibility into your heart and realize that everybody all of us equally have responsibility to hold up this community and to hold up God's kingdom in this world. Amen.